It's time to go back to school with Professor Fish, Southern Colorado's only show dedicated to college athletics, University of Fish.
Oh, man, I think the clock is slow.
Class is now in session.
I don't feel tardy.
Here's the professor, Tim Fisher.
Welcome to the University of Fish. It's another beautiful Saturday morning in the state of Colorado. Hope it's beautiful wherever you're at listening. All over the country, you can be listening on extrasports1300.com. Get the Extra Sports app on either Google Play or iTunes. All the places that you can distance learning here with the professor on the University of Fish. Let me tell you what we got coming up today. Big show. As Ed Sullivan would say, it's a really, really big show, even though it's a horrible Ed Sullivan impersonation. We've got former Heisman candidate for the Air Force Falcons, Chad Hall. Yes, that Chad Hall that played with the Philadelphia Eagles, the Atlanta Falcons, and San Francisco 49ers. He is right now an offensive assistant with the Buffalo Bills. He'll be talking about his experience at the academy as a cadet athlete, talking about his NFL time, of course, and the elephant in the room right now when it comes to any of the military academies is, should they be able to, the athletes, defer their service, not get rid of it, but just defer it so they can play pro athletics. We've seen it from early in the 2000s where a cadet couldn't play soccer for the Seattle Sounders because he had to go to service. I'm not saying these guys should skirt their service. They go to the academy for a reason, but they should be able to promote the Air Force, promote the Army and the Navy by playing pro athletics. That does more than any recruiting office in these big cities where an NFL team is. What's going to draw more people to the recruiting office than, okay, a Fly High Air Force commercial on TV that they spend millions on in the middle of the Super Bowl? Or you got Jalen Robinette going deep on the outside getting a pass from Ben Roethlisberger or whoever would be his quarterback. We don't know because he didn't get drafted. Which would draw more people to the recruiter? I guarantee you everybody going, ooh, Robinette was in the Air Force? Ooh, I want to look into that. We'll get to that later when we talk with Chad Hall and a former Olympian, also went to the Air Force Academy, Eli Bremmer, will be joining us in that discussion as well. Then, after that, Mr. Irrelevant, Chad Kelly, the quarterback from the University of Mississippi, last person drafted in the NFL draft. I gave you my first 20 picks, excuse me, my first 10 picks. Was off on a little bit of them. I knew I was going to be because people didn't draft on talent. But that's my opinion, of course. Then, we'd be talking to Chad Kelly. And then Professor Fish is going to get a little raw with you. Talk from the heart in that last segment. You know, Fish's lecture is going to be more of a, we're going to have office hours. We're not going to go out to the quad. It's going to be an intimate conversation between the two of us. That's what we got coming up. But right now, in this time of year, we're always looking at the crazy time of college football. No, there's nothing going on. Spring games are over. We're still weeks away from the start of the season. But then you have all the talk of conference realignment. Every year it comes up, and an article comes out this past week. Yes, I talk a lot about Oklahoma, but once again, they're in the news. Oklahoma and Texas bolting the Big 12. What would that do to the Big 12? Well, right now, the Big 12 is actually 10 teams. So you'd be down to 8. Yes, you could find schools like Colorado State, Cincinnati, Memphis to replace them. But do you have a conference if you don't have Oklahoma and Texas in it? They're your money makers in all your sports. Yes, Kansas is a money maker in when it comes to basketball. Their football program? No. No. Iowa State pulls in a little bit for basketball and just a little bit for football. So you go where the money goes. Oklahoma and Texas leave the Big 12. Oklahoma probably to the SEC or the Big 10. Texas will go out to the Pac-12. So you Colorado fans would love that. You get to play the Texas Longhorns all the time because you would be in the same division because of geographics. But is there a Big 12 if Oklahoma and Texas leave? I don't think there is. The league would dissolve. It would turn into four super leagues. Yes, we got the Power Five right now. you would have four 16 to 18 league teams. And then your top four in the, for the playoffs would be the champion of each league. If you wanted to give your mid-majors a shot, like see Air Force runs the table, you know, they're undefeated, we should be in the playoffs, you would have to expand to eight. That's the only way a smaller school would ever get in the playoff. You're not going to see them anyway getting in the playoff. We've seen that over the past couple of years. Western Michigan, 12-0 this year. Granted, you know, we saw in their bowl game why they didn't get invited to the playoff. Washington shouldn't have been invited to the playoff, but Power 5 champion, of course, because we didn't want to go with, okay, you didn't even play in your conference championship in Ohio State and put them in the playoffs. So, Big 12, gone if this happens. And I would hate to see it go. I don't want Oklahoma to be part of the SEC. I don't think Texas is a fit for the Pac-12. Academically, they say they are. But when it comes to just regional fan bases, Texas, yes, they're a national brand. But it would lose so much them being in the Pac-12. I know Colorado fans are still trying to figure out that, being in the Pac-12 rather than being in the Big 8 and the Big 12. It's been kind of a transition for them and the fan base, because it's a lot easier to get to Manhattan, Kansas, than it is to Eugene, Oregon from here. A lot easier. You just jump on I-70 and you go. So some strange things being talked about in college football right now. Here's what's coming up in the next couple weeks. I'm giving you a week off of class. It's going to be that, you know, that little session there between the spring semester and summer school. Get you a week off, get you regrouped. In summer school, we're going to be holding it at 7 a.m. every morning. So I'm going to let you sleep in an hour. I know that's always good for students. Get you fresh, get you ready for class. We're moving to 7 o'clock, going to have a two-hour block of live and local right here on Extra Sports 1300, because it'll be University of Fish, followed by the other football show with Chris Braden and your host of the show and your host of Drive Time Sports, one Ryan Kaufman. We're going to go to a break here. When we come back, an Olympian, an NFL star, a Heisman candidate, Chad Hall, Eli Bremmer, talking Air Force athletics, cadets in professional sports. That's going to be right here on the University of Fish, coming up right here on Extra Sports 1300.
Hi, my name's...
Everyone, back in your seats. University of Fish is back in session.
Welcome back to the University of Fish. I am the professor, Tim Fisher. I told you what was coming up, and we have this guy that's going to be on the line in just about 2 seconds.
Call for Heisman! Call for Heisman!
Chad Hall, Air Force Academy cadet, NFL player.
Goes to the third man, Chad Hall. Starts left, cuts back to the right. 25, 20, 15, 10. Sprint to the end zone. Touchdown, Air Force! The Heisman Trophy candidate goes in.
Chad Hall, it's been a long time since your Jim Arthur call a game, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's been a while. Love hearing him, though.
How you doing this morning, Chad?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Chad, if you don't know right now, is an offensive assistant with the Buffalo Bills, but, as you just heard, was a Heisman candidate for the Air Force Falcons, did his service, and then went and played with the Atlanta Falcons, Philadelphia Eagles, and San Francisco 49ers. Let's talk about your time at the Academy. Tell me about your experience as an athlete cadet.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was challenging as a collegiate athlete at the Academy. I think y'all know most of the drill, from waking up doing military, then academics all day, and then going down to your intercollegiate sport and practicing for hours, and then getting back right at the end of Mitchell Hall, serving dinner and eating right at the end, and then going back and studying in your dorm. So there were full days every day. But it was a great challenge, and I enjoyed it. And, you know, those guys around you are doing it the same. They make it easy for you. You know, you wouldn't let them down.
Well, one of those guys that were around you, I have on the line as well. Eli Bremmer, I think you know the man. Or did we lose Eli?
No, Eli's here.
Eli's there? Did we lose Chad? Okay, we lost Chad. So, Eli, we're going to talk to you for a second while we pick Chad back up. Little phone system problem. Talk about Eli. If you don't know who Eli Bremmer is, I could go on with, say, hey, he's the former head of the El Paso County GOP. That means nothing to this show. What does mean something to the show is he was also an Air Force Academy cadet and an Olympian. So, Chad, talk about your time at the Academy and how it was like for you. Little different sport. I don't know if it was as time intensive as football, but talk about your experiences at the Academy.
Yeah, I was actually on two different teams. I was on the swim team and then the fencing team.
Swim team would be very intensive then.
Yeah. Well, I think most of the sports are pretty intensive. And like what Chad said, it's a very rigorous schedule. You know, from when you get up in the morning to when you go to bed at night, the days just fly by, the weeks just fly by because you're waking up, you're doing your military stuff, you're at breakfast, you're at school, you're going to marching to lunch. You're at school, you're at the gym, you're doing your homework, you blink and it's time to go to bed. So it's that's basically what it is. It is a great training program, I thought, to get me ready for a lot of other things. People I've worked with have said, I can't believe the volume of stuff you're capable of doing. And I just sort of laugh and say, it's nothing like what I did when I was at the Academy. So, that's pretty much the same experience I think a lot of the cadets who are in sports up there have.
Okay, now, of course, the elephant in the room right now, which is all over the academies, not just Air Force, started off like it was looking like just Air Force. Department of Defense coming out and saying, no deferments of service for cadet athletes. How did that affect you? I mean, because it affected you when you were a cadet athlete.
Well, my experience is a bit different. I went into the world class athlete program and actually wound up, when I qualified for the Olympics, I'd just been eliminated from the Air Force in a force reduction. The chief of staff found out and said, wait a second, this doesn't look good. So I got put on orders to the Olympics and then was promptly off of orders again right after the Olympics. After that, when I was going back for a second Olympics, I'd actually been contacted by some senior leadership in the Air Force, the former chief of staff, and said, hey, we'd like to have you back in. And I wound up going through this amazing experience of dealing with the paperwork system associated with the military. It took them 18 months to not be able to cut orders, even with the support of the top of the Air Force. So, I've talked to Jalen about this, and I've sort of said, hey, man, trust me, it's not you. The military as a whole just has trouble making these decisions. They have trouble leveraging this. I don't know what Chad's experience was on that front, but when I was in, I did a lot of publicity on behalf of the Air Force, which is very important, especially right now with the recruiting crisis that they're facing. And they just really struggled. I don't think there's anybody who's out to get people in Jalen's position or my position. I think it was a struggling for the bureaucracy to understand how to leverage that correctly.
Yeah, and since you bring up Chad's experience, having a little phone difficulty where I can't have you both on at the same time, I'm going to switch to Chad real quick, and because you brought up Jalen Robinette as well. Chad, you're not only as being a Air Force cadet, you're a little experienced with Jalen Robinette as well, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Is he coming up to Buffalo anytime soon?
He is. We got him into our mini camp, which starts next weekend, after this, the whole debacle. And, I was talking with him through the process because, my first acknowledgement of it was the day, during the draft. And so, I was caught off guard and, thought he'd be drafted. He had a draftable grade with the Bills. And so then when that came out, nothing was happening. I knew my experience when it was a 2-year policy, even though they were saying it might, they might make exceptions when I was coming out, that I went to rookie mini camp and kind of got eyes on me. So I knew that he had the ability to do that. So once everybody, you know, probably the whole league kind of brushed into a side because the two-year deal, I, you know, approached our coaches and told them that he'd definitely be able to come in for rookie minicamp, and they were like, well, let's definitely go get him. So should see him here in about a week.
Well, I'm glad Jalen had someone like you that was in a position that could get him into one of these. I know other teams are going to want to be, get eyes on him as well, but my producer's telling me you're running short on time, so I got to get a liner from you for it before I lose you. And I hope to have you again, especially as we get closer to the NFL season and the Air Force season. But I want you to say, Chad Hall, former Air Force Academy Falcon and NFL player, you're listening to the University of Fish. If you do that for me, please, sir.
Yeah, I'll do it. No problem. This is Chad Hall, former Air Force Falcon and NFL player. You are listening to the University of Fish.
Thank you, sir. And thank you, Eli, my two Air Force Academy cadets. When we come back here on the University of Fish, we will be talking with Mr. Irrelevant. He did get drafted. He wasn't at an academy. That's why. But Chad Kelly, University of Mississippi quarterback, will be joining us live from Oxford, where he's about to get his degree. We'll be right back on the University of Fish. I am the professor.
The Home Depot has a new idea.
Hi, I'm Billy Sims, 1978 Heisman Trophy winner from the University of Oklahoma, and you're listening to the University of Fish. Boomer!
Welcome back to the University of Fish. I am the professor, Tim Fisher, and now we are joined by someone who you are going to get to know very well in the coming weeks, in the coming months here in the Colorado Springs, Denver area, because, of course, we're all Bronco fans in this area. But you have to listen to this first.
So for the announcement for the selection of Mr. Irrelevant 2017, just like Rocky Balboa, the ultimate underdog of the Denver Broncos, they select Chad Kelly, quarterback from Mississippi.
Ingram's on the right side of the formation. Kelly's looking back to him.
He'll be remembered as one of the best competitors that ever played here. I mean, he's the quarterback that helped lead us back to the Sugar Bowl since Archie had been there. I don't think the Ole Miss people will remember. They will remember that for a long, long time, and he'll be etched in the memory of everybody that followed our program as one of the greatest competitors to play that position.
Yes, he was. People asked me years ago, a couple years ago, hey, who do you think the best quarterback in the SEC is? I had one answer, and I said it was Chad Kelly. This last year, who's the best returning quarterback in the SEC? It's got to be Chad Kelly. Chad Kelly, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
I'm honored to have you on. Now, we're going to talk about your life, and I'm going to take you way back right now. I know as a kid, I was always enthralled by, and I was in a small town in Oklahoma, so I was never able to participate in punt, pass, and kick. Everybody sees it during the playoffs, you know, the finals of it. Is it true that you're the only person to win the national punt, pass, and kick four times?
I think it is. It took a lot of hard work, that's for sure. So anybody that wants to do that, you got to start early and you got to work hard every single day to achieve that goal.
Now, and you did do that, and so you learned how to compete and how to win very young. How did that drive you to be a better athlete?
You know, my dad always preached that hard work beats talent, and I was able to kind of work hard every single day because my dad worked night shifts, and he was out there right after school with me to work on my craft, so... Like I said before, you just got to keep on working hard and get better in any which way every day.
Now, I didn't start it this way because I'm sure everybody starts every interview you have like this. Let's talk about your uncle. If people aren't listening right now, not real sure who his uncle are, you'll know in about 2 seconds. Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly went to the University of Miami, of course, played for the Buffalo Bills. Just talked to an offensive assistant with the Buffalo Bills, Chad Hall. But talk about the influence that your uncle was, not only in your football life, but in your personal life?
Well, he had a huge impact. You know, my dad and him, our brothers, he was around all the time. We lived in Buffalo. I was able to go to Bills games every single weekend and kind of be around those guys and even work out with them in the off season. So he had a huge impact on my life. I'm very thankful to have a guy who's been through the ropes before and to kind of guide me in the right way.
Now, when you were in high school, all I ever wanted in high school was that state championship ring. I wanted to walk around with it. We lost in the state finals. You won two of them. Talk about your time there at St. Joseph's in the Buffalo area.
It was a great time. I was able to meet a whole bunch of friends, friendships that will last forever. I had some great coaches that kind of let me do my own thing at practice to get where I am today. I mean, he set up little targets right under the goalpost that when we were working on defense, he told me to go over there and work on my accuracy. So I think I kind of was able to take advantage of being at that school and ultimately get me ready for the next level in school.
And speaking of the next level, you won another championship with East Mississippi, and in the championship game, you throw for 430 yards, five TDs, hitting nine different receivers. And now for the season, you were throwing 67%. You hit about just shy of 4,000 yards and 47 touchdowns with only eight interceptions, leading East Mississippi through their third straight championship. That left you with a pretty big decision, where to go. Why'd you pick Ole Miss?
Well, when I had first left Clemson, Coach Freeze had contacted me, and he kind of told me if I go to East Mississippi, I'll have an opportunity to go to Ole Miss and compete for a starting job. So I always put that in the back of my head going through the whole process, and I seen how good of a team he really had. So, I mean, I seen the wide receivers, the defense, the offense, everything was just kind of right in line where I needed to be. And thank God enough I made the right decision going to Ole Miss.
I believe you did as well. Now, there's a lot of things in our lives that we take for granted. I mean, I know I do. But you saw a different side of life, made a trip to Haiti to do some volunteer work. Talk about that experience and how did it impact you?
Well, it was a huge difference maker. I mean, you just can't take life for granted. It can be taken away just like that. And, you know, I'm in a cast right now. Those guys out there, they just want to have water. They just want to have a great time. And, you know, they don't have much, but they're thankful for what they have. And being here, we got a lot of stuff, but we got to be thankful every single day because just like that, it can be taken away from us.
Now, I've talked with your father. I've met your father, very, very nice man. And he was talking to me about, he's going, you know what, Chad comes back to him, Dad, they don't even have running water. And that has to just, it tears at your heartstrings just hearing it. But experiencing it and seeing it, I mean, that has got to be a life changer.
Definitely. I mean, we take that for granted every single day just to take a running hot shower. And those guys can't even do that. So, you know, we're very blessed and it just makes you realize how precious life is.
Now, after your trip back to Mississippi, and you were part of the best seasons that fans in Oxford have seen in decades, what was the driving force behind those teams?
I think all the leaders on the team. You know, there was probably 5 to 6 guys that spoke up at practice every single day. There was guys that were dedicated, a lot of hard work. Just guys all over the field that were willing to put their hand in the dirt and really grind it out as hard as they could because they wanted to be the best. They wanted to win. And thankful enough, we had a great season.
Now, you had a teammate who I know that you got to know very well, and the connection that you two made was amazing, that had to come back from a huge injury. We've all seen what happened to Laquan Treadwell. Comes back from the injury, has a great year with you this past season. Him working back from his injury, has that influenced you right now with you having to deal with that? Not as bad as of an injury, but has that influenced you at all?
you know, going through that whole time with him there, he put his foot down in the metal, worked hard every single day. There wasn't a day that went by that he wasn't in there trying to better his craft and doing whatever he could to get back on the field because he loved the game so much. And you definitely think about that every day, that you want to get out there as soon as possible, but you don't want to rush it. And at the end of the day, this is what you love to do. This is the game that you love to play, and you're very fortunate to play in the NFL. So I'm ready to get out there and prove myself, and I think he was too. He was determined to get back.
And a lot of times you hear athletes saying their big takeaway from their college years is, you know, the friendships they make, the hanging out in the locker room, the big games they won, you know, whether they went to a Sugar Bowl or not. But you're about to take away something from Ole Miss, the most valuable thing you could. And this being the University of Fish and me calling myself the professor, I am very high on people completing their degrees. You should have heard me a couple weeks ago when I see all the early entrants into the NBA draft. Next week, you're walking across, well, you're hobbling across because you're in the cast right now, sorry. But you're going to be walking and getting your degree with your classmates. Tell me how that makes you feel.
It's going to be one of the best feelings ever. You know, my dad didn't have a college degree. My mom did. She worked really hard for that. But my dad just preached. He said, man, get that college degree because you got that piece of paper. Nobody can ever take that away from you. So it's going to be a great time. I'm really excited to actually receive that piece of paper, and I'm going to be a proud graduate.
Now, I know your mother's a teacher. Was she a huge driving force in your education?
She definitely was. You know, she wanted me to work hard in school. I wasn't the best student ever, but I knew every time I came home, I had an opportunity to get help if I needed it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I want to help her not have to drive an hour and a half to school there and then an hour and a half back. I don't want to have her do that. So I'm going to keep on working hard to help support her.
And you are doing so because you even made the All-SEC Honor Roll. Congratulations on that. I love seeing people getting their education, doing what they got to do to get that done. Now, you're in Oxford right now, and everybody hears about tailgating on the Grove. What makes the atmosphere in Oxford there at Ole Miss so special?
Well, girls wear church dresses on Saturday. That's probably the first thing. And second, guys dress up in polos only. So it's a unique experience, one that it's the true South. And, you know, it's one that will last a lifetime. And I couldn't be more happier with the fans, how passionate they are and how much they really care about their team. And I can't wait to just keep on coming back and enjoy those moments.
Now, I talked to a few people in the University of Mississippi Athletic Department this week. I was getting ready for this today. And all they had to say was how great of a guy you are, how great you are with the local media there, and how much the local media there loved you. And it just tells you how much of a home, because Oxford is not one of those big, those huge college towns like in Austin, Texas, Columbus, Ohio. I mean, Oxford's a small town, and it's a tight-knit community, and they really accepted you into that community. But, you have, you know, all things come to an end. And we did come to an end this past Saturday of the draft, and at the very end was you, Mr. Irrelevant. What does it mean to you? Not the title, but just the being drafted in into the NFL.
Words really can't describe what it means because you work so hard your whole life to get to that point, and there's still a whole bunch of work to be done. But I'm just so thankful and blessed that God put me in that situation. It might not have been where I wanted to, but it doesn't really matter. I just wanted a chance to go in and compete. I have that chance right now that I'm going to soak up every ounce of knowledge I can from the quarterbacks, from Mr. Elway, and from the teammates around me that have been in the league for a couple of years to learn the ropes. So I'm just so thankful and blessed right now. I can't even explain how
happy I was when I heard my name called.
When you think of prior Mr. Irrelevant, I don't know how much thought you've put into it, but if you look at, like, sports science, your readings and everything, we're off the charts. I mean, you know, science, you usually can chart things, but your results, best ever they've ever had on sports science. So we know you're talented. Could you be the most talented Mr. Irrelevant ever? Because Ryan Succop is one of the few that's still in the league and actually starting in the league because he's a kicker. You can't count kickers. I know, because your uncle, I mean, I know him and Norwood are probably really close, but we're still, your uncle should have a few rings if it wasn't for a kicker. So are you the most talented Mr. Irrelevant ever?
You know, it's not up to me to decide who's better and who's not better, but I know one thing. Every day I'm going to come to work and work extremely hard every single day. And that feeling that I had that 31 other teams passed up on me is a feeling I'll remember for the rest of my life, and that's going to drive me every single day. And, you know, when I got picked, my little brother was so happy, and to see that smile on his face and maybe one day to see a smile on his face when you win a championship, that's what it's all about. So I'll definitely remember a feeling, and I'm going to keep working hard every day to achieve my goal of being the best quarterback to ever play.
Now, a lot of people are going to think, okay, what was Chad Kelly doing when he got picked? If they look at social media, they're going to think you're taking a nap when you got picked. That's not the case, because you were with your little brother when the phone called, weren't you?
Yes, sir. We were outside throwing the football. I was with my left hand, and we were just kind of joking around saying that I guess we're going to have to start applying for jobs with the left hand now.
And so then you get this call, and you talk to a Hall of Famer all the time and your uncle. But what was it like to have that Hall of Famer John Elway on the other end of the phone?
You know, it was a great feeling. It really was. And to join a great franchise like the Denver Broncos, I can't even tell you how many people already said they're Denver Broncos fans. And even before this, they were Denver Broncos fans. So they have a great fan base. I'm so excited. They're passionate. And I can't wait to get started, and especially with the Denver Broncos with Mr. Elway leading the way. I mean, what more can you ask for than a guy who played your position and how much knowledge he already has of the game?
Well, your new head coach has already been quoted as saying that you were his favorite quarterback in the draft. And so have you had much communication with Coach Joseph?
I did just briefly right before they selected me. Otherwise, I had asked if we can get the playbook, and they weren't going to allow me to get in until Thursday of next week. So I can't wait to get in, get to know those coaches, those players, and get in that playbook.
And speaking of that, if you were a basketball player, they would call you a gym rat. But you're a film junkie. Your coaches caught you right after the Sugar Bowl game, and you were already breaking down film for opponents from last year. Talk about your preparation and why it's so important to you.
Well, you gotta see things before it happens. That's what the great ones do. They know what's coming. They have all their options already mastered. They know exactly where to go with the football. And in order to do that, it takes a lot of film study. You gotta know your opponent inside and out. You gotta know their tendencies. And, you know, that's the type of thing I want to do in my life, so I better be really good at it.
Okay, now athletes who excel in sports usually have another sport they love. Talk about lacrosse.
I can't wait to get out to Denver to watch some of those lacrosse players play out there. They're pretty good. So, you know, lacrosse is an interesting sport. It's physical, and it gets you ready for football, I think, and it's right before football season. So I think it was a great sport that I had got introduced back in sixth grade by one of my friends, and soon enough I was kind of excited playing a sport that I never played before, and it kind of lasted a long time. Now my little brother, he's not too bad at it either.
He's not bad at it either. Okay, now you're in Oxford now. You'll probably travel back home before you come out to Colorado. When you go home, what you want mama cooking?
I'd say probably fettuccine, broccoli, crab, Alfredo, pasta. Yeah.
Okay. Not really what I was expecting to hear, but kind of making me hungry there, Chad. Okay, I know you've got a busy schedule with getting ready for graduation and everything, but I got to get a liner from you. I want you to say, this is Chad Kelly, Mr. Irrelevant, quarterback for the Denver Broncos. You're listening to the University of Fish.
Hi, this is Chad Kelly, quarterback of the Denver Broncos. You're listening to the Fish.
That'll work, brother. Welcome to Colorado. Can't wait to get you here. Get to know you. It's been a pleasure having you on the University of Fish this morning.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And go Broncos.
Thank you, Chad. That was Chad Kelly, Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft. But as I've told you, he will be a star in the NFL. I'll give you more about that when we come back after the break. You're listening to University of Fish. I am the professor right here on Extra Sports 1300.
Let's take a step out on the quad. Professor Fish is giving a lecture.
Welcome back to the University of Fish. I jokingly called this week's show the Professor and the Hanging Chads because we had Chad Hall. We had Chad Kelly. Also Eli Bremmer. Can't leave out Eli Bremmer because Eli, former Olympian, great guy. I want to thank all of them for coming on this week. And a lot of people I know have said, Tim, why are you such an apologist? Professor, tell me why you're so easy on these guys. You know, because I've always supported Joe Mixon because he made a mistake. And people are going to say, well, you took it too easy on Chad Kelly. You didn't ask about this. You didn't ask about that. And, yeah, I could read you the list of what the media has reported on him. But like I said while I was talking to him, the Oxford, Mississippi media loved this kid. He got a bad rap from the national media. Rap. Well, I was going to play for you Swag Kelly. You know, of course, Chad Kelly did a rap song. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Maybe we can have Chad rap for us sometime once he gets here to Colorado. Going to work on that because I think this kid is a talent. And I can't call him a kid. He's 23 years old. He's a great guy. I've talked to his family, met his family, great people. He's going to be a star in the NFL. If you want my true, honest opinion, if he recovers the way I hope he does, you could see him as the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos before the end of this next season. It's going to be a long road back. If not, you're going to see him take over the starting reins in 2018. I can guarantee you that. I'm sure our Twitter line is blowing up right now going, what does this guy think he's talking about? No. Yes, he's got more talent than Trevor Siemian. He's got more talent than Paxton Lynch. He's got a cannon for an arm. Yeah, he's had some off-the-field issues. But those are behind him. He's got John Elway to work with. He's got Vance Joseph in his and his staff to work with him, and he's also got a Hall of Fame uncle who can help guide him along the way in how it is to be a professional, how it is to be a leader of a team. Jim Kelly, one of the greatest field generals you'll ever see. No, he didn't win a Super Bowl. Now, he had some hard luck in the Super Bowl, just like the Broncos did before they won their back-to-backs for John. You know, the whole Pat Bowlen, this one's for John. I wish at some point they could have done that in Buffalo for Jim Kelly because he got them there every year for 4 years straight on the precipice, just not able to reach it. I think this young man, his nephew, Chad Kelly, is going to be able to make it. But why are you such an apologist? I'm not. I believe in the goodness of man. The professor used to be a foster parent. And all that Mrs. Fish, I know she loves being called that, the Lady Fish, all she loved, all we ever had was troubled teenage boys. I've got to tell you, no one is better at patching drywall than I am. from kids throwing things, punching holes in walls. I've dealt with some kids that have had some problems. A lot of them, not on them. And when this foster worker would come in and go, hey, but you got to watch out for this kid because he does this and he does this. This is why he's not in his home anymore. A lot of the times, it was the parents' fault and the kid was getting a bad rap. So it was up to the professor and the wife to take this kid from them, not from what everybody else was telling me about them, but for me to take a long look at them and figure out who this person is, try to make them the best person they can be, and help them along the way, ignoring all the background noise. And you've seen all the background noise with Chad Kelly. You've seen all the background noise with Joe Mixon. You've even seen it with Reuben Foster and Jabril Peppers, who both fell in the draft. They both got picked in the first round, so I don't know how far you can say they fell. Because, hey, getting drafted in the first 32, you're still one of 32 people picked. I mean, we were talking earlier about, you know, we had Eli Bremmer on. And someone said, yeah, you know, I was looking, he came in 19th in the Olympics. 20th! He's in the top 20 of the world. Anybody would take that. So, you know, being picked in the first round is great. But when you're picked lower, like a Chad Kelly or a Joe Mixon, they have lots to prove. But I know the character of both those of what I speak of. And they know they have a lot to prove, and so they're going to work even harder, compete even harder on the field. They've got the off-the-field stuff taken care of. It's on the field. Judge a man by what he does, not by what he has done. Yes, I know our past defines who we are, but our past doesn't have to be relived every day, because the great thing about the book of life, you turn the page, you're not going to go back and reread the same page over and over and over like the media does with these athletes. Yeah, there are people that I have been harder on. When I've been harder on Baylor, sexual assault is a whole different story. You've never heard me be apologetic for anyone sexually assaulting or doing anything that takes really conscious thought. If they set out to do bad, or if they started doing bad and continued doing bad, you've never heard me apologize for that, and I won't. Repeated offenses, give a guy a chance. I'm not saying, okay, hey, you've killed 4 people, but you did it over an 8-year span. We're going to forgive you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you have these minor discrepancies, these minor offenses, give a guy a chance. And you're saying, okay, Joe Mixon, wasn't a minor thing. He hit a girl. Yes, he hit a girl. One punch, gone. And he didn't sit there and continue to beat her like a Ray Rice in an elevator, like other players. I'm not going to go into the bad things that have done. I'm wanting you to take away from today, be a Tigger in life. Don't walk around like an Eeyore. What do I mean by that? It's one of the suits here, one of his favorite things to say. An Eeyore is someone who looks at the doom and gloom in life, and when you harp on how bad this person's life has been, you're being an Eeyore to them. Be a Tigger. Jump around. Be optimistic. You have to be, because life, my friend, will get you down if you let it just harp on you and just drown you in this negativity. Because we see it, sports should be a release for us. Sports should be fun. What has happened with sports is we become TMZ. We want to know the latest scandal, the latest big thing, when we should just be enjoying it, and especially college sports. Because these kids are playing with heart. They're playing with a goal. Professional sports, they're playing for the paycheck. yes, there are people that still love the game and have the heart for the game, but when it comes down to it, they're playing for a paycheck. College, they're still playing to get that paycheck. They want to do as the best they can so they can get to the next level. In your NFL, you got to be able to stay at that level, but you've already got there. So complacency can set in. In college, it can't set in. And these kids deserve a second chance. Chad Kelly, great kid. Everybody I've talked to talked about how great a kid he is. My experience with Joe Mixon, great kid. Had some problems, but great kids. Okay, that's enough of that. Enough of raw fish for today. Enough from tearing the heart open. What's coming up next week on the University of Fish? Nothing. I told you earlier, we're taking a week off, giving you that break between the spring semester and summer semester. Coming back, though, the next week, the 20th, 7 a.m. Let you sleep in an hour later. Great show today. Hope you enjoyed it. Chad Kelly, your next quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Chad Hall, former Air Force Falcon. Who says I don't talk Colorado? I'm the professor. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Summer session.
Oh, man, I think the clock is slow. I don't feel tardy.